a loop on Radio Australia. Isabel and Barbara are with you. And it's off to Fiji, Barbara, to find out more about the damage done by termites.
I know, they're nasty little critters. Have you ever had them in your home?
Well, come to think of it, I'm wondering why the floorboards are looking so bad.
So wobbly. Well, it is one of the greatest fears of homeowners here in Australia is to find termites or traces of termites in their homes. The tiny little critter is capable of enormous damage if not stopped early enough. And it would seem that the termite is indeed fast becoming enemy number one in Fiji too. Over the last couple of weeks, reports have emerged that in La Toka, in the country's west, at least 90 homes so far and 4 schools so far are infested, and it's now been confirmed even more worryingly, I think, that the pest has invaded pine plantations and food crops. We're joined on the line now by Dr. Don Hewitt, who is an entomologist who specialises in wood-degrading insects like termites, and also by Mara Beddoes, whose family comes from La Toka. Mara is in Melbourne now, but he runs a termite eradication company here in Melbourne. Welcome to you both in the loop.
Hello.
Hello, how are you going?
Yeah, great. Great to have you on board. Now, first of all, to you, Don, the Fiji government has set up a task force called Operation Kadivuka. What sort of a problem are they dealing with here, do you think?
They're dealing with a massive problem. This particular termite, its Coptotermes gastroi, is the major pest of Southeast Asia. So it's maybe 90% of the dollar value lost in Malaysia, Thailand, Singapore to termites. And it's spread around the world. It's kind of, to the west of us, it's got as far as Reunion in the middle. It's had some fun in Brisbane. It's spread right throughout the Caribbean. It's turned up in Florida and in Hawaii, and I don't think anyone there has managed to knock it off yet. So this is a scary time for Fiji.
So how does it travel these wide distances?
Oh, you're going to love this. It travels first class.
Uh-huh.
They really like living in the bilges of sailing boats.
Because
there's fresh water from the rain and plenty of wood to eat, and they spread around the world really well.
Do they like salt water?
No termite can take salt water.
So mangroves are safe from them then, one would assume?
No, well, there are mangrove termites, they just avoid the salt.
Right.
Goodness gracious me. So, we can only assume that they've come through on imported goods.
Yes, pretty much.
And how many have you been keeping tabs on the situation there? Is there any indication as to how many there might be?
Just from the news reports, it looks like they've been there, And Mara might have a good idea of this too, more than 10 years, possibly 20 or more years for the spread that they've got. Termites on their own don't spread very well, so unless they've been brought in many times in the same area, which isn't probable, it's likely that they've had good time to spread.
Right. So Mara, if they've been there for 20 years or so, why do they become such a large problem now? What has triggered this?
I suspect one of the things is they've been identified correctly, possibly, in recent times, because being Coptotermes, they also have Coptotermes asiaceiformes there, that whether it hasn't been identified earlier as the pest that they've identified now, and possibly why it's also been left a while. With the local pest controllers, I'm just assuming that. Yeah.
So you think that maybe previously people sort of thought they had a little bit of a termite problem, but they were just assuming it was an indigenous termite?
With all the asiaceiformes, which is the most common ones that I know of that they have there. My brother actually did work with flick pest control in there for a while, and a lot of the times what they did was just replace the timber instead of actually
going for the nest.
Problem. Yeah, that's right. Because it a lot to do with cost as well.
So how big are the nests and How many would there have to be in order for the damage to be so widespread?
There'd have to be an awful lot of nests. In defence of the ID, telling these things apart is a nightmare. You get down to counting the hairs on their heads and working out the shape of the back of the cranium sort of stuff.
How big is the head?
Oh, it's tiny.
And how many hairs do these termites have on their head?
Oh, whether they've got pairs of hairs or single hairs on the hole in the head. It gets ridiculous.
Right.
So, and they're very hard to tell apart. The nest is really interesting. They'll start up in damp timbers and they may move into the soil once they've eaten that.
Mm.
A really fun way to think of these things, you'd expect them to be at least 600,000 to a million in a nest. Imagine something about the size of a large cat or a small dog, and then imagine it made up of little grains of rice. And that's pretty much the colony we're dealing with. So it's like a cat or a dog, except that it can spread itself more than 50 metres in any direction to find whatever food there is.
Mm. And silently, suspect.
Oh, yes. Yeah, they're very good.
So what are the first signs of damage which enable people to identify this pest?
Ooh, you can answer that one, Mara.
Mara?
When they're doing spring cleaning or anything like that, and then they doing cleaning on the skirting boards and go through it with where it's like it, or leaning against a door and the actual door falls off the hinges, but also in the flooring where it actually starts to or crack or feel a little bit spongy as you're walking across on it. And a lot of people tend to think it's wood rot, but work it out. If there's no water there or no rise in dam, then there's a good chance it'll be termites actually eating away at it. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, and then on the trees and stuff, you'll see their little mud-covered tubes that they use to travel, and then occasionally they'll have a flight. They'll sort of fill the sky with these little fluttering insects that land and then throw their wings off, and that tells you it's them for sure.
Mm. I remember when I was living further north in Australia, I discovered termites in my home, and I had sort of done many, many stories on how to eradicate termites in an environmentally friendly way. But when I discovered termites in my own home, my first reaction was nuke them. I just wanted them out. So, but is there, like, can Fiji be thinking of environmentally friendly ways to eradicate these termites, or is the problem just on too big a scale now for that sort of thinking?
That depends on the assessments. They're certainly moving towards using proper pesticides and baits, and Mara's a really good baiter. They have announced some really crazy things like applying kerosene, which isn't really going to be effective, but it comes down to what you can afford to do. Mm. With termites, you have to kill the colony. There's no point just killing a few of them. You've got to wipe out the nest, or you've wasted your time.
So, Mara, we're talking about baits, I imagine chemical baits. What would be the side effects of that for the rest of the environment?
Very little, to be honest, because the active is actually in a small box where the termites will actually feed on it, and it takes it back into the nest and eliminates the nest that way.
Ah.
And so once you've actually got it under control, the box is actually removed, so no poison's actually left there.
Mm.
And the baits are really good because they use a hormone. So what it does is it disrupts the termite's ability to molt and have a new skin.
Right.
And we don't have that sort of skin, so that hormone doesn't affect us.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So now these termites have been found not just in homes, but they've been found in the pine plantations. They've been found in cassava plants, breadfruit trees, coconut trees, mango trees, and vivai trees. Is there any kind of tree they don't like?
Yes. But none of those are any good for food, and they're very slow growing, so forestry people don't plant them.
Right.
But some things like teak are fairly resistant. A lot of our Australian native trees are relatively resistant.
To this particular type of termite?
To termites in general.
In general.
But often trees that have been pruned, fruit trees and that sort of stuff, are more likely to get attacked. So there's a bit of a problem there with food crops.
And what about building material? I mean, should Fijians now be thinking differently about what they build their homes with, Mara?
I think so, yeah.
What should they be using?
Or either termite-resistant materials or using physical barriers, because there's a lot of physical barriers out on the market now, where you can, particularly in
like moats.
But particularly in Latoga too, a lot of buildings there are on Besser blocks, so it just makes the entry point quite easy for the termites to get in, but undetected on top of it, so they do quite a bit of damage before they actually found. And if they're doing chemical treatments around the outside, it's not, depending on how it's sitting on the footings, they might not actually fix the problem by finding the actual entry point through the Besser blocks. Where with a baiting program, it takes all that guesswork out, because they take it back to the nest and do all the hard work for you.
Is this going to make construction more costly, though?
I would, in Australia, I suppose it adds between $600 to $1,200 on a house. So yeah, I'm not too sure what that works out in Fiji with their constructions. But in the long term, particularly with the new physical barriers they have now, that they have up to 50 year warranty, so I think it's quite cost effective.
More so
than when they actually get termites into the house. They've not only got to get a termite specialist out to fix the problem, but also repair the damages as well.
So it sounds, Mara, that it is a battle we cannot really win.
Yeah, well, it's good for the termite specialist. So if we don't get them at the start, we get them further down the track.
Right. They don't have any natural predators?
Not
in Fiji. they're very heavily eaten by ants and lizards and birds.
Right.
But in no part of the world do they control the populations. So you can't rely on that. Even echidnas aren't that good at keeping the numbers down. But in terms of stopping them from doing lots of damage, if you think of the typical Queenslander high set house that sits up on stilts, these termites always attack from the ground, unless you've got a house that's already falling down. So if you just stop them getting into the house without being seen, then management becomes cheap and easy. So it's a matter of changing the designs a little, perhaps.
Just concrete stumps then?
Well, you can use timber stumps with a pizza pan on top and just kick out the stump when it's gone and put a new one in.
But what if all your stumps go at the same time?
Then you're in a bit of trouble. The ideal is that you would use treated timbers.
It's called a hard landing.
it doesn't happen that way.
No.
You look at old Queenslanders, there are plenty that have survived that way. So it's possible. And they're in a similar sort of termite hazard area.
So do they like colder climates, these nasty little Asian termites?
Fortunately, Gestroid doesn't, although it has turned up in Ohio, which just amazes me.
Ohio?
Yeah.
Has that got similar temperatures to Melbourne?
Well, no, colder.
Oh, goodness me.
No, we're safe from this one, but we have our own.
Of course we do.
So they do adapt and transform to fit the situations when they migrate.
The different species. Coptotermes are fun in that they're a species of edges. They like to be on the edge of forest or near water, near a river, near the coast. So when we develop places, we create a lot of edges and make life really good for them.
You're in the loop on Radio Australia.